Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 titled, The Head of the Body. Jesus, our Creator God and Sustainer of all, is the head of the body. Unlike the Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, and most Protestant denominations, Baptists and other Bible-believing non-denominational churches do not recognize a pope or a king or any other head of state as the head of the church universal or the church local. Jesus is the head of the body. But in this study, we'll not dwell on the various denominations, but zero in on the fact of the universal church and the importance of recognizing this universal quality of the one body and Jesus being the head of that one body that all believers of all time belong to. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, titled, The Head of the Body. This is part 1 of 2.
We're past the halfway point of this chapter. And she asked her for Papaw. That's sad. Grandma, well, Grandma's not here. Papaw's the important one until she gets back. We've been going verse by verse pretty much. Of course, we always go phrase by phrase. We don't skip anything as we're studying. But have you noticed how thick this is? It's going to be four chapters, but there's so much in here that if Christians were to take their time and really study to show themselves approved, not just read it and skip through it, that as you've seen, it is a guard for your heart. If you don't want to be led astray, and if you want to grow in the Lord, then you learn what is in just this first chapter of Colossians. And as we continue through the other three chapters, you're going to see that, man, I mean, it just hits it all. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 18 with the first words of the verse, the head of the body, after open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together and just to be able to come together and relax and enjoy some good fellowship and be among people who love the Lord and are saved and just stepping out of the rat race for a little while. And being able to sing about Jesus, being able to share prayer requests and lift those up, and to be able to open this book and study and grow. And we just thank you for this privilege, this blessing of the local church, whether it's me or John or Steve or any of the other preachers around the country and around the world who are able to teach sound doctrine, rightly dividing the word of truth from the right book, the King James Bible, preaching the true gospel and calling on men to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray these things in His precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, real quick little current events update as we get into our text from the outhouse. I've explained what that means. Those of you who don't know, that means it's outside of the Christian circles, out in the world, what's going on, but it's some important information for Bible believers. And this is just a sampling of what's going on in the media right now, and not to get into the Russian thing, but what you need to understand is to any time, no matter what the story is, you have to think critically. What's that mean? That doesn't mean just sit there and criticize. That guy's ugly. I don't like his front teeth. Look at the part in his hair. You know, that kind of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually listening to the words and what's being conveyed and
testing it, just like we're telling you to test the Scripture. Someone's teaching you something, and Brother Steve is teaching Wednesday, Jesus is God, and it was a great study. And then on a YouTube post, somebody came along and asked like 3 or 4 questions, and because we don't have any problem with people asking questions. Amen? The only problem we have is when you ask them and say, well, what about this, stupid? You know, that's out of line. I don't want to be reminded of that. And then, but they also, when they say, ask questions, and you can tell that they're not really wanting answers. They're trying to get you. You know, that kind of thing. But anyway, otherwise, when they ask questions, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. When you come up afterwards and you ask me questions, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But you're also supposed to be doing that with everything. When you're watching the news on TV, you're supposed to be doing the same thing. That's why we bring this stuff up. Now, the headline says, Russian meddling in election. Now, what's wrong with that? Because there is something wrong with that. Don't be afraid that if you're wrong. We ain't going to make fun of you until you're gone. Then we'll talk about you behind your back. Bingo! Give him a nutter butter. The Russians meddled in the campaign. The Russians spent some money and put some ads out there. They actually did it on both sides. Yeah, they were using our First Amendment, which they don't have for their own people, but they were using ours. And they weren't... Look, it says at the bottom. Nielsen says purpose was to, quote, to sow discord, not to make somebody win. Now, Putin made a comment that he was rooting for Trump. He's human. Can you blame him? Who would want to have to deal with Hillary, even if you're, you know... But... Yeah, the reset button she used. Russians didn't meddle in our elections. There's no evidence that they had anything to do with the votes, with the tabulation of the votes, with the computers dealing with the votes, anything. So that is a false headline. And you notice where it came from. It's not CNBC or MSNBC or CNN. That's Fox News. False headline. So there's your example this morning. Russia meddled in the campaign. Russia did not meddle with our elections. That's what the headline should say. But they didn't. So there you go. Now into the text, again, you continue to do what I just showed you. You listen and you think critically so you know what's going on. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not seeing any attitude out here or anything. Don't get me wrong. I didn't see anybody just look at me or shake their head or anything like that. But I'm going to here tell you, I can't read your mind. But I've been in this ministry of Bible teaching now going on 30 years. And most Christians ignore what I just tried to teach. And it shows in their lives. And I just want to encourage you to listen to anybody teaching. And go in the Word, because even, it's not with a desire to catch somebody saying something wrong. But when you do that, it solidifies it in that mushy sponge in your head. It makes it stick because you put forth some effort. If all you do is come in here and sit there and listen to me and then go home and turn on the TV, it's not going to do you a lot of good. If you listen and you go home and you open your Bible and you read it, it's better. But if you listen and actually test thinking, now wait a minute, he said this. Oh yeah, that's right, because over here I remember reading that. And over here, your head's working, your brain's functioning. Amen. And the main thing that's missing in Christianity today is brain function. Amen. So we're going to look at this, the head of the body. We're going to see another example. In Colossians 1:18, in our previous studies, we've seen that Jesus is Creator God and Sustainer of all. And I don't re-preach the messages. Go back and watch them, listen to them on sermon audio if you missed it. In addition to that, now we go to verse 18, and it says, read with me, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He is the head of the body, the church. The church. Doesn't say this church. He's not saying he's just the head of the church in Colossae. He's the head of the church. Doesn't refer to just the local church, but to the church. Now, the reason I bring that up, and I'll start at home, consider myself a Bible-believing Baptist, and some Baptist brethren do not like this reality of what is termed, called the universal church. And basically, they're ignoring what this text and others say. And so what they have done, and I know this Sovereign Grace do this, but so do Southern Baptists, Landmark Baptists, some Free Will Baptists, and other groups teach that you have to belong to one of their churches, and or you're not right with God, and you're to be shunned, and you're to be baptized in or by a pastor of one of those local churches, or your baptism is null and void. And so in order for you to then join their church and start, you know, being a part of their church, you have to be baptized, rebaptized. Yeah. And if you can, the only, you can come from another Sovereign Grace church or Free Will church or Southern Baptist church of their like-mindedness. And if you were baptized in one of those churches, then they some of them will let you come in based on that baptism. But some of them will still say you need to be baptized again. I was offered a position as associate pastor way back when Mariah was a little baby. And I really loved that church, the pastor, the people. And he approached me, and I said, well, you know, that'd be an honor. I just didn't, it just kind of blew my mind that you'd offer me that position. And I said, what do I need to know? Qualifications, questioning, going, you know, he said, well, here's a statement of faith, and you have to agree to that, and you'd have to be baptized. I said, baptized? Man, I've already been baptized 3 times. Wow. I was 5 years old and made a profession, and they baptized me. Then I made an adult decision and got saved later, and was baptized in the same church. No, I didn't take that back. It was a different church. But anyway, it was the same city, same town. And then I started attending a church that didn't believe the doctrine of that church, and the preacher kind of talked me into it, even though it wasn't required. He kind of talked me into being baptized again. So I did. You know, like, you know, it's going to hurt. It's like going swimming anyway. And just more people seeing me baptized means more witness. I didn't think anything of it. Anyway, so I'm asked to take this position. I'm looking at this, and I thought, that's just not right. I mean, it's just not right. It's a requirement. And if I was associate pastor of that church, or assistant, or whatever they call me, then I would have to tell people, you're required, if you want to be a part of this church, to be baptized, unless you belong to this. It was a Landmark type church. It was a Landmark type of church, but it wasn't a Calvinist Landmark. It gets confusing trying to keep up with all these isms and schisms. So I had to turn that down. I'll tell you, I was in tears over that. Because I really, really love those people and love that church. But you can't go along with something like that. Why? Because the Bible's so clear. That's the question to ask. Not what does your statement of faith say. But what do we see in Scripture? Every born-again member in local churches belong to the one body. If you're born again, even before you find a local church, you're in the body.
Amen.
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 Here's just one example. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
Amen.
Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. Now they'll take that verse and a couple others like it, and they'll act like that's water baptism. It doesn't have anything to do with water baptism.
Amen. Sure.
Yes. One what?
Spirit.
Spirit. And I guess if you want to, you know, baptize somebody in whiskey, you can say he's baptized in the spirits. But there's no spirit is spirit. It's not H2O. It is what it is. Says what it says. Your tradition needs to go out the window. So someone comes in here and they say they're saved. And they say they've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost after being saved. And it wasn't sprinkling pouring as a baby or something like that. That's between you and God. If you're lying to us, it's on you. God will deal with you. And, you know, if you come in here and say, oh, here's a letter over my previous church saying, you know, well, fine, but we don't even require that. You know, the Bible said, Paul seems to frown on the idea that we have to have certificates and recommendations from other men in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Read it recently. So this is spirit baptism. The moment you're saved, you were baptized. Now, you didn't necessarily feel it. You know, you didn't all of a sudden get chills, and or the Mormons say the bosom, you know, burning in the bosom, you know, anything like that. Now, when I got saved, I felt something. What I felt was this massive sense of relief.
Amen.
Like this huge burden took off my shoulders. And that brought tears to my eyes, and I did weep. I did.
Amen.
But you don't have to weep to be saved.
Amen.
And if you didn't feel what I felt, that doesn't mean you're not saved.
Yep.
See, that's the problem. Is everybody's, whatever your experience is, everybody else better have that same experience. What do you mean you didn't go to an altar? You didn't go to an old-fashioned altar? No, I didn't, because there's no such thing in the New Testament church.
Amen.
If you you did go to an altar, well, you still need to be saved. No, I'm not saying that either. If you went to an altar, or, you know, I don't care. Some people make a big deal of baptism, whether you're baptized in running water or in a baptismal font. You know, some churches will require you to go out and get dipped in the lake or the creek or the river if you got baptized in the city water. I'm not kidding you. They're like, well, Jesus wasn't baptized in no bathtub. That's what they'll say. All kinds of nutty craziness. The important thing is that you were baptized by one Spirit.
Amen.
Into the one body.
Amen.
And that ought to settle it, but some people don't let truth get in the way of their tradition. Amen?
Yeah.
I know several of you here can tell the stories. Talk to Charlie and Jenny about, you know, their experiences, and I've told you mine, where you can go to somebody and say, where is that in the Bible? And I think in Charlie's example, it was, here's a book. And then and it wasn't really in the book either, was it? Oh, you didn't? Yeah. Opinion. Now, let me tell you, they'll give you good reasons. And you're saying, well, you know, I can see why you think that that's a good reason for doing that. But it's still not biblical. They'll say, well, you know, if you just let anybody come in, they say they're a Christian, and they say they've been baptized, and they haven't. You just let a, you know, snake in. Well, you know, that could be true about people, anybody. Even the people who are baptized here. They could turn out to be a snake. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not a good reason not to go by the Bible. And it's been my experience that when someone comes in under false pretenses, we've seen it here. It eventually, it's like a blister. It'll eventually pop. And it can be a little messy, but that's how God deals with them. You know, I believe when, you know, Jesus said, don't go around trying to get all the tares because you might destroy some of the wheat. Well, that's what you end up with when you start trying to, that's what these people are doing with this whole baptism thing. They're trying to get rid of all the tares and only have wheat. But you're doing it your way and not God's way, and you're going to cause damage. And have they not caused damage?
Amen.
We've seen it. But you might like this illustration. Being a preacher is sort of like being a lifeguard. It's like I'm up here in my lifeguard chair. I need a whistle. I am never going to wear Speedo. I'm one of those lifeguards still wearing the shorts with a shirt on. Amen? But I need a whistle and I can blow it. You know, And the lifeguard's up there whistling, "Steve, stop splashing the baby." You know, that kind of thing. And you're like, "Shh, Charlie, come on." "Oh, you actually are that tall. Okay, you can stay out there." You know what I mean? I'm not kidding you. I was telling Jenny, I was listening to this little effeminate guy on a TED Talk tell about how he missed the whole, all this time he'd missed the point of David and Goliath. Yeah, I was telling you all about this yesterday. Sorry, you have to hear it again. And he says, here's the truth about Goliath. First of all, he was 6'9". And then he goes on to, you've heard the how he was like decrepit and had to be led out there by his attendant and all this. They totally make up. I said, man, I posted on YouTube. I posted on YouTube. I said, by this guy's, you know, definition of giant, I said, my stepson would be a giant. He's what, 6'6"? Yeah. 3-5-0-4. But anyway, where did I get? I don't know how to get off on that. But being a lifeguard, oh, I was telling jokes. Being a lifeguard and being a pastor is very similar. They really are. I mean, you're trying to get people to listen to you. And do they listen? Most of the time, not. And this is what it looks like much of the time right here. Look up here. Do not climb, play on, and around pipe. And almost everybody's on that pipe. There you go. And I would tell you, that's how, you know, Jenny and I talk about the years gone by in, I'm doing most of the talking, about years gone by in ministry and everything. And I was just reminiscing about, I was a youth pastor of this little youth group, about a dozen kids, and man, we got close. It's a great, if this is what youth ministry was, it wouldn't be too bad. Most youth ministries aren't like this. But we would get together and we would, you know, the kids would give us prayer requests and we'd talk about the Bible and got to know each other. They felt comfortable coming up to me and tell me things. I just, one girl, she said, in tears, crying, and she said, I just want to tell you that I appreciate what you've been doing. I've stopped smoking. She's only about 15 years old. She'd already been smoking for about 3 years. I had put a poster up in our youth hall, and it showed a girl smoking. You could tell she's probably a real pretty girl, but she was covered in tar. And it's, you remember that? Because I took it with me when they fired me. And it said, if you're outside, look like your insides, maybe you wouldn't smoke. And she said that thing haunted her. And I quoted, you know, your body's a temple of God, and you shouldn't be doing like this. So, she quit smoking, came up, and then another girl comes up and says, you know, I didn't think I was really doing anything wrong because I love my boyfriend, but I told him we can't have sex anymore. And that, we had been studying what the Bible says about it. And he dropped her and went and found him some other floozy. And I said, well, now you know how he really felt about you. And so I tell you story after story about those dozen kids. And yet, after they fired me and I left town, no one stepped in. And those young people just kind of, you know. And I know at least one of them's dead from drugs. And I know a couple other ones got in real big trouble. And then, out of all those people down there, I'm not sure more than one of them's serving the Lord right now. And I told Jenny, I said, man, I really felt like I'd gotten something there with those kids. They're just really taking it in there. Amen. But that's what it's like in ministry. Yeah. You preach and you teach and you see people sometimes for a little while, they look like they're really growing and doing good, and next thing you know, and I'm telling you, this is to all of you. Amen. If you find yourself right now, you find it convenient to just throw your Christian principles and convictions off whenever you feel like it, you're already taking the first steps to becoming shipwrecked.
Yeah. Right.
And all I can do is stand up here and preach it and teach it. It's up to you to receive it and live it. Amen?
Amen.
We're Bible believers. The Bible trumps Baptist or other non-biblical teaching.
Amen.
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 One of the worst answers you can give me when we talk about something is, well, my church I grew up in, they used to tell us this. Well, that's fine to tell me that, but not if you're going to use that as some kind of authority. Or, you know, well, my mom always said. But Doug was quoting some of the things he said. Well, I don't know, somebody in your family used to quote, you know, things like, what was it? Isn't that Poor Richard's Almanac? Yeah. And it may even be a truism. But if it's not Bible, it's not Bible.
Amen.
Early bird catches the worm. Was that Proverbs? Ecclesiasticus. Listen, I'm telling you, some of those things sound good, but it can actually put a false sense of failure on you. Because I used to think, because I'm not a morning person. And I mean, two cups of coffee and noon. That's what it takes for me to wake up. Now, when I worked my job, I knew it well enough. I'd like a zombie, just sit there and... But I wasn't awake. How many ever driven and like 20 miles down the road, you're like, wow, how'd I get here? I don't even remember doing that. That's really not a safe way to drive. But we've all done it. I think most of us anyway have done it. And that's not really the good way to live the Christian life. You don't want to wake up 20 years later and say, whew, I don't even know, what did I do for the Lord? Bart? Keep it clean. Yeah, that's another one you mean. Yeah. Thank God that's not true, because otherwise none of us would go to heaven, because none of us could. That might have been in Fiddler on the Roof, but he does that in that movie. By the way, that's one of the movies we got down here in our new collection we're starting. So we pick up, he is the head of the body, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. Again,
Amen.
He was there in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. That means He's been there since before the beginning. You couldn't be there at the beginning. And, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. That's what the cults teach. They try to teach denying the deity of Christ. And they'll try to teach that Jesus was the beginning in the sense that God created Him and then created everything else through Him. We tackled that already in the previous study. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying He is the beginning. See that? In other places it says, in the beginning was the Word. Here, it not only says He was there, He is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. Now, we saw in our study, verse 15, Jesus is the first to be born from the dead. That's what that means. He's the firstborn.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.